Okay, boys. Today's daf is Kuf Ayin Aleph, and as you recall, we learned about 2/3 down the Amud, where it begins Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The beginning of the Gemara is unrelated to what we've been learning until now. The reason why we're bringing this Gemara is because shortly on the Amud Beis, we're going to get into the Machloikis about whether one should write a Shoiver or not write a Shoiver. Remember, a Shoiver is a receipt. What do you mean? What's the Shoiver? What are you talking about? When you have, for instance, a case of a Malve and a Loiver, where the Malve has lent money to the Loiver, and now the maturity date comes and goes, and now the Loiver's got to go and pay. So, if the Loiver pays up, what he expects in return is, take the original document, that is the Shtar Choyv, and tear it up. I don't want there to be any semblance of the Shtar Choyv around, because if it gets in the wrong hands, or if the Malva retains it, guess what? He might ask for a second payment. So he certainly wants to get rid of that Shtar. Under normal circumstances, as long as the Malva has the Shtar, he gives it to him, tear it up, and finish. You don't need any more Choyv, you don't need anything. That's not the major issue. The major issue is when you're going to go and pay only Mitzas Choyvay. The whole Choyv was the marshal $100, and this Loiv was only able to cough up $50. Obviously, the Malv is not going to go and tear up his own Shtar if he still has $50 outstanding. So what do you do in such a situation? So we had a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what you got to do is you got to go and have the Edom that were there the first time, let them agree to go and tear up the old Shtar and immediately write a brand new Shtar for the remainder, for the balance of the Choyv. And don't write today's date, write the old date of the original Choyv. Because if you're going to go and write today's date, then the Malva will lose the possibility of attaching a lien and foreclosing on any Mishubadim. So that's the Yetzer. Go and rewrite the Shtar, but not for the 100, but for $50 and for the old Zman. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says no. What you should do is give a shoiver to the loiver. What means a shoiver? You go and give him a receipt that he paid $50. What's the benefit of that? So we had a machloikis again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, which is a better way of addressing this situation. Rabbi Yossi's view was, it's much better that there's still a $100 note out there, even though the loiver has his shoiver, because there's now a certain degree of psychological financial pressure on the loiver. Pay up the rest of the choiv. Make sure not to forget. Make sure to hold on to your shoiver, because if you lose it, theoretically you'll have to repay the 50 that you already paid and another 50. This way we try to, in a polite, subtle way, get the loiver to pay. And this is very important. Why is it so important? Evan Loivel ish Malve, there's a mitzvah perperoyin choyvois, and therefore, that's the way you should do it. Okay, so we had a machlekes, yes, shoiver, nish shoiver, that was the mission. And we're going to get back to that on the Amud Beis, but in the meantime, we go off a little bit on a tangent, Tanu Rabbanan, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Shtar, shezman lekosev b'shabes, oy basore b'tishrei. Can you imagine? They wrote out a shtar, and now, let's say, a year later, maturity date, looking back, when was this Shtar written? And they look up the calendar, and the date on it is Shabbos. For instance, as you know, today is Yud Beis Kislev. Tomorrow is Yud Gimel Kislev. And you discover, in a year from now, that this Shtar is dated Yud Gimel Kislev. Why didn't they realize that immediately? Well, why does it take a year to figure all that out? Or Vasar B'Tishrei, or it's Yom Kippur. So Rishbam says very simply, it's talking about those places where they used to go and date their documents in accordance with the solar year. So therefore it said in the document, L'moshel, December 14th, and then people don't automatically assume December 14th is a Shabbos or a Tishrei or whatever, they just know December 14th. And then some time later, they look at the Shtar and say, that's interesting, when was December 14th? Back in 2014,
they should know it's Shabbos.
Well, we're not talking about on the spot. We're talking about when you lent the money, they signed it and they sealed it. Here's your Shtar. Goodbye. We'll review it later on. He put it away. He remembered that the maturity date is for a year. A year later, he pulls it out. And then people start examining the Shtar. December 14th. When was December 14th?
Maturing, not the day when it was written.
No, no, we're talking about the day that it was written. The day that it was written.
So they don't know it's Shabbos when they're
written? Rabbi Sain, no, everybody's all nervous and agitated.
I'm not nervous.
Believe me, no, I'm also nervous. Even the thought that Chas V'Shalom, somebody wrote in Shabbos, means it's devastating. I agree with you. We'll see that in a moment. What's even worse, perhaps, is that it says in the document, in the Marshal, September 15th. Oh, yeah, September 15th. And then I look at last year's calendar, September 15th, came out on Asar B'Tishrei. You know what else falls on Asar B'Tishrei?
The Day of Atonement.
The Day of Atonement. Yeah, certainly now that I write of the Day of Atonement. And not only that, the Day of Atonement came out on Shabbos. Can you imagine? Ay, 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 ay. So what are we going to do? It says the Braisa, Shtar Me'ucher. It's a Shtar Me'ucher, meaning obviously the scribe, the Sofer who wrote it, was not Chas V'Shalom Chal V'Shabbos. But rather, he wrote a Shtar Me'ucher, means with a later date than the actual Choyv that took place. The actual Choyv Echvais was L'Marshal in Elul, and he wrote a later date for Asar B'Tishrei. Now, mind you, he didn't write the words Yom Kippur, obviously, because then everybody would start screaming, hey, Yom Kippur, huh? So he wrote in September 15th. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, who gets disadvantaged by writing that later date? The Malva gets disadvantaged. Why does he get disadvantaged? Because the Malva always gets liens from the date of the loan. So if it says in the Shtar that this loan took place on August 1st, L'Marshal, and that's when the loan actually took place, so then any properties that were owned by the Loiva on that day have impressed upon them a lien that if and when the maturity date comes a year later, whenever it is, and the Loiva doesn't pay, so then the Malva can go and grab those properties, or can foreclose on those properties. Even if those properties have subsequently been sold and are no longer owned by the Loiva. So the fact that we wrote this shtar for a later date means what happens if the Loiva, at the same time that he was borrowing the money, obviously he had a certain degree of financial duress. Maybe he was trying to raise other funds by selling some of his properties. Ugh. As long as the loan predated the date of the sale of those properties, there's a lien which is impressed on those properties for the benefit of the Malva. By the fact that the Sofer wrote a later date, like for Tishrei, a month later, during that interim period, the Loiva might have sold one or two or three or four or five properties. And guess what? Now the Malva won't have any evidence that he has a lien on those properties, because the lien is only created as a result of a kol. The kol is only created as a result of a shtar. And the shtar says for Tishrei, and it doesn't say for El. Or in our example, for September, it doesn't say for August. So if there were any intervening properties that were sold, it's to the disadvantage of the Malva. But the Malva apparently was aware of this, because after all, the Malva is giving the loan, and he's the one that is overseeing to make sure he gets a good shtar. So apparently he said to Loiva, I know you're now in negotiation to sell some of your properties, and I know that by having a lien on those properties, it's going to cause trouble. Who wants to go and buy a piece of property which doesn't have a clean record? Everybody wants a clean piece of property. Not this one has a lien, and the bank has a lien, and the other guy. So obviously this is not going to be to your advantage. You're trying to raise as many funds as possible. It's okay with me to go and make the shtar a shtar me'ucher, to date it later. A shtar muktam, according to everybody, is possible. If you backdate the shtar, that's dangerous. Why is that dangerous? Because maybe the loiv has already sold 5 or 10 properties, and by backdating it, then the malva will say, oh, you see, my halva took place prior to your sale, and therefore I have a lien. But that's not true. That's just a fraud. So therefore, muktam is always problematic. But Me'ucher is kosher. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, if we discover that this shtar was written on, not that it was written, but it's dated with a Shabbos date or with a Yom Kippur date, it's impossible that it was written on those dates. It must be that it was written prior to that time, and they put a later date, and therefore it's a shtar Me'ucher, and it's kosher, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The obvious question is, we all agree that it wasn't written on Shabbos or Asar B'Tishrei on Yom Kippur, but maybe in fact it was backdated. Who says it was written in August and they put down a September 15th date? Maybe it was written in October and he backdated it to September 15th. So maybe this is not a Shtar Me'ucher, maybe it's a Shtar Muktam. Says Rishbam, unless you have proof, you don't assume a Shtar Muktam. Why don't you assume? Says Rishbam, because min ha-toira, any shtar that comes in front of us with two edim signed on it, edim ha-chasumen al ha-shtar nase kimi shenechra edusan bebezin. It's as if these two edim miraculously stood up from the shtar and appeared in person in Bezin and said, we solemnly swear that these whatever facts that you have here in this document are absolutely emes v'yatsin v'nochim v'kayim v'yosher. It's 100% emes. So unless you can somehow impeach these edim through hazoma or through hakhasha, then 100%. So therefore, anytime you get a shtar, it has an automatic cheskes kashrus that this is a kosher shtar because there are kosher edim on it. No problem. The Rabbanan, however, said, in case somebody challenges the authenticity of the shtar, you have to have kiyum shtars. Kiyum means you have the henpek. That's all the Rabban. Kiyum shtars is the Rabban. I mean, I thought you don't need kiyum shtars. You have your shtar. The assumption is, unless the other guy can prove otherwise, this is a kosher shtar. It's like the typical standard case. You're a muchzik in a shtar. You want to go and passel the shtar. You got to prove it. I, the owner of the shtar, I don't have to prove that it's kosher. It looks kosher. It smells kosher. To aid him, everything is fine. Midrabanan, you have to go and do a kiyum shtar. Aha. So therefore, min ha-toyrid has a cheskes kashrus on the shtar. So when I find a shtar that has a date which is untenable, it can't be that it was written on Shabbos or on a service trip. Yes, there is a possibility that it was backdated and it's possible, but my assumption is, my chazak is that it is a mu'ukher and it's kosher, unless proved otherwise. So that's what it means.
Yes. The edim are not there.
What do you mean?
I mean, they're there that they sign, but you date it, you know, we sign it today.
The edim do not have to know what it says in the text of the shtar. All they have to know is that they were brought to attest and to sign on a piece of paper. It looks good.
Avoid being meuchar or mukdam?
You don't have to. Mukdam you have to avoid because that is a fraud.
So they have to look at the date.
They should, well, I don't know if they have to, but if let's assume that they were sleeping at the wheel. I don't know that it's a requirement. When we get to the Sechtes, Malkus and Sanhedrin, we'll deal more with what Edom have to know, what they don't have to know. But for our purposes, the Edom signed, whether they were thinking, whether they weren't thinking, it's a done deal. I'm sorry, once again?
Keilu bebeistin.
Yes, k'mishin nechra edusim bebezin dam, it's as if they stood up from the shtar and said their edus in front of Bezin. But we know for sure this date is wrong. How do we know for sure? Because it wasn't written on Shabbos or on the Sar B'Tishrei. So either it was written in August and it has a September 15th date, or it was written in October and it has a September 15th date. If it was October with a September 15th date, that's certainly possible. That's a big, big no-no. Nothing to talk about. A shtar muktam is possible. A shtar mu'ukher, however, is kosher. I had a situation with a shtar mu'ukher with my brother, Zichron Livracha. My brother July time was the chasana, June or July. Anyway, and the sofer wanted to know, this was not going to be one of these pre-printed Blumberg forms, but they were going to write it out nicely, so a sofer was commissioned to go and write it. And he wrote it, and now the question is, what date does he put out?
What was the transaction, a loan, or was it?
He was getting married. My brother was getting married. And what happened was, he wants to know the date for the transaction. It's a transaction. It's Mekadosh. Good. Anyway, so I told him that the dating, that the chasana was going to be like his typical invitation, 6 and 7, 6:30 and 7:30, whatever. And
Makadosh.
That's the second part.
Right, but Isha Makadosh.
You're right, 100% right, 100%.
The transaction part would be Nicholas.
The first part is Isha Nicholas for Sholeh Drach, Nicholas Kinyan, yes. And you know, Kinyan is the Afroy, or another, what's the other rai that Kesav is going on? What do you have to have both for? Look at me more in Daf Gimel, Daf Talad in Kiddushin. But getting back to our case over here, so he was being, we're not talking about Shtar Kiddushin, so Ishin is not 100% appropriate, we're talking about a Shtar Ksuba. Shtar Ksuba, of course, is not the king. Anyway, the Soifer wrote in the Shtar, he wrote it for the next day, meaning, let's say, the Chasana was Sunday night, the Marshal, he wrote it for the Monday date, figuring that the chasana of the chuppah would be late. It turned out that the chuppah was in fact a little bit early, it was before Shkia, and so therefore the date should have been the Sunday date and not the Monday date. Oy, 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 vosametan. So I think it was Rapam's Kranabruch, I think was there, don't remember, He said, no, it's a chishtar mocher. Chishtar mocher is cautious and not a problem. Feel chishtar mokhtam yibrava. Chishtar mocher, it's in the later days. No problem. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, they went ahead and they got married and they lived together for many, many happy and healthy years.
So they got married the day before. On Sunday,
they got married on Sunday at 7 o'clock, and Shkia was at 7:30 or 7:30, and Shkia was at 8 o'clock. Whatever it was, I don't remember the specific details.
And Shtar was dated.
But the next day,
for
the after Shkia, for the next day, it had the Monday date on it, based on the assumption that the chasen was going to be late on Sunday night. But in fact, it was earlier than anticipated. So then the Shtar is mocher because the date should have been the Sunday date. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, or Rosh Chodesh Sivan Tammuz, and what was it? Was only he wrote in Beis Tammuz. Shtamucha is kosher.
If it would have been the other way, it would have been.
Then you'd have to rewrite the whole thing, and you'd have to take out a form, and then you can't cross it out. I mean, theoretically, can put the initials, it's not a good idea. Anyway, so getting back. Yes, Chai V'Kayim. So getting back to Agmar. So Shtar Shizman, he crossed the Shabbos in Asar V'Tishrei. Although there's the theoretical possibility it was a shtar muktim, we assume it was a mishtar ucharu, the kashat of Rabbi Yehuda, kusha v'yusha. Rabbi Yossi, whoever, passled. Why did he passle? Not, says Rishbam, because we were concerned that it was a shtar muktim. He also agrees we are not choshish the shtar muktim, but rather because he holds it's a shtar uchar and it's passle. Why is a shtar uchar passle? It only disadvantages the Malvin if the Malvin is willing to go along with it. So what's the issue? So that's going to be the crux of the discussion, as you'll see momentarily. Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, I don't understand you. Don't you remember that famous story in Tzipori? It was a Maisa with you, Rabbi Yossi.
In the Shuk of Tzipori.
V'echsharta. And we had taka such a shtar that was written by Shabbos, Vesavet Tishrei, and you said it's kosher. And you just said, now Rabbi Yossi poisel. Rabbi Yossi, make up your mind. Amalois, Rabbi Yossi said, Kishechsharti, bezehechsharti. I only was machsher in this case. What means in this case? In the Shabbos or the Asarabat Tishrei case. But not a regular shtar mu'ucher. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, at a regular shtar mu'ucher, I would hold that that is possible. When do I hold that it's kosher? Only in such a special case that it was a solar calendar date, like September 15. And subsequently, we realized that September 15 is impossible, because that was a Shabbos, or it was a Kippur. That was the case that I say that it is kosher. The case that is possible is a generic shtar mu'ucher is possible.
And why is
That's the crux of the question. Exactly. See, for that you're going to have to wait another 15-20 minutes, because that's Gemara is going to address in Mirchem the Amit Beis. But before we make that distinction, again, we're distinguishing between a case where it's obvious that the date is a shtar mu'ucher date, because when we check out the calendar, we realize it's Shabbos, or it was a Sar B'Tishrei on Yom Kippur, that's impossible. That's one case. Or the generic shtar mu'ucher case, where we realize that the shtar was written for a later date than the actual law. Says Rabbi Yossi, when am I machsher? Only in this case when it's obvious. In other words, when you take the calendar and you show that the solar year shows that it's a Shabbos or Yom Kippur, then I hold that it's kosher. Mind you, that's not the lashon of this braisa. The braisa says it's kosher to renew the Rabbi Yossi poisel. Wait for a moment. That's when you're saying bezeh. Bezeh meaning in this Shabbos or Yom Kippur case. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. And Rabbi Yehuda says in that case, it's kosher. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, it's possible. Rabbi Yossi, you're being soice to yourself. You're saying in this type of case where it's obvious that it was a shtar mu'ucher because of the solar dating and the misdating. That's when you say that you agree that it's kosher. Yet you're arguing with Rabbi Yehuda in this very case, and you're saying it's possible. Make up your mind. So Amr Pedasa, Pedasa says, I'm going to go and explain everything. Hakol moedim shim huskaknu lo'inosei shoshtar. Huskaknu lo'inosei shoshtar, says Rishba, means that I had to take out my calendar to check the date of the shtar and determine why do I have to go and check? Because it had a solar year on it and not the Jewish year. So therefore I have to figure out, so yeah, September 15. When was September 15 last year? Oh, it's Taki Yom Kippur. Ooh. In such a case, The nimtzis ein nosay mechuvenes b'shabbos in basar v'tishrei shishtar meucher hu kosher. Everybody agrees that it's kosher, even though that's not the lashon abraisa. The lashon abraisa is shabbos in v'tishrei. Yehuda says it's kosher. Biyosi poysel, no, even Rabbi Yosi agrees that it is kosher, and that was the story in the shuk shel tzipori v'chsharta. It's kosher. So where's the machlekes? Lo inechlechu b'shtar meucher bi'alma. A regular shtar meucher, which is written with a Jewish date, for instance, lemoshel yud gimel yud dalet tezvav kislev. Why I'm only saying those dates because that's what we're talking about today. For instance, is yud beis, tomorrow's yud gimel yud dalet. So if someone would write to now a yud gimel shtar, presumably everybody would know. Oh, what are you doing? It's Shabbos, no? But now we're talking about a day where it's not apparent from the shtar that it's meucher. It's only based on other circumstances we realize that it was meucher. We'll see why they made it meucher a little bit further down on the Amud. Stay tuned. Le'inechlechu b'shtar meucher ba'alma, not with a Shabbos Yom Kippur date. In other words, it was both dates. It said in the shtar le'moshel, today is Yud Beis Kislev, they wrote it today, and instead of writing Yud Beis Kislev, they wrote in Yud Beis Shvat, or Yud Beis Ador, or Yud Beis Nissan. And those were all weekdays. They did not coincide with any Shabbos or any Yom Tov. So, Nechle B'Shtar Mu'ukher Ba'alma. In such case, Rebutal Atame, the Omer, Ein Koisvin Shoiver. We don't write Shoiver. Ah, now we know why we brought this Gemara, because this relates back to yesterday. Mishnah, the Rebutal says, we do not write a Shoiver. And therefore you could not have any potential catastrophes as a result. Rabbi Yosef Tamid, the Amar Koisvin Shoiver, oh no, no, enough minei churva, there's going to be a terrible catastrophe. What catastrophe? Chvaisish. Rabbi Yosef, I know you would like to know the answer. We're going to find out in about another 5 or 10 minutes as we get down to Tanan Hossam, a little bit further down. But in the meantime, the Gemara throws in a bit of a curveball, if you will. And what does the Gemara say? When we're talking about a shoiver, there are two possibilities of a shoiver. You could be talking about a partial payment, or you could be talking about a full payment of the choif. Even according to the man Yama that says you write a shoiver, that is Rabbi Yosi that holds you write a shoiver. Hani milia palga, that's dafka when the maturity date came. And the loiva says, I don't have the full $100. I can only pay $50. Okay, pay the $50. But then he says, but what's going to be now with the shtar milva? I'd like to take that shtar and tear it to pieces, because otherwise he's going to go and charge me in a month from now, in 6 months from now, $100. In such a case, Philemon, the Yemekois, and Shoiver, Hani Miliar Palga. That's why we give him a shoiver. The Malva obviously does not want to give up his shtar, because that's the proof that the loiva owes him money. On the other hand, the loiva doesn't want the Malva to retain the shtar, because then the Malva will be able to go and try to collect from him double. In other words, the previous amount and the new amount. Zokti Moros, the whole machloik is hani milia palga. That's why we give him a shoiver, to say that he paid up 50%, he paid $50, he only owes $50. Avla kulei loy, but on the full amount dus nisht. What means on the full amount nisht? That if it's on the maturity date and he pays the full amount, you would think, okay, give him a shoiver. No, don't give him a shoiver. Why don't you give him a shoiver? Because we want to get that original shtar choiv and tear it. The loiva says, listen, I owe you $100, you owe me a shtar choiv. Until you give me a shtar choiv, I'm not going to give you the $100. And therefore you can stand on your head. No, I don't want any receipts. I might lose the receipt. Achbar may come and snatch it away or eat it up. I'm not interested. So Philemon, given that you had a shoiver, that's because of Balga. Yeah. There's no other Eitzel L'choir unless Yachlif. But otherwise, he needs a shoiver. Avala Kulei Loi. When it comes to Kulei, the Loiva can stand and say, I'm not going to pay you a penny until you give me that Shtar Choy. So therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Huna B'Reidu Yeshua, the whole machloik is your shoiver and this shoiver is only gabi palga. But akule, there, even the mandiyama that says, koisvin shoiver, here don't write out a shoiver, but rather force the malva to find that shtar choiv, and we're going to go and tear it up. Says Imar, that's very nice, we do not fear, we do not conduct ourselves in accordance with your psak. Afil akule kosvinan. Those mandiyamrim that hold koisvin shoiver, and those mekoyim is the right shoiver, we do not distinguish between palge or kule. In fact, I'll tell you a case. Here, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, they have a masik beizuzi b'Rav Abba. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef was owed money by Rav Abba. And they had a din Torah. Osla kami de Rav Chanina bar Papi. They came in front of Rav Chanina. Omalei, havli zuza. He said, you owe me the money. It's maturity day. Pay me. Omalei, I got the money here. Look, you see, I'm holding it in my hands. Havli shteroi. Give me my shtar. B'shakul zuza. Can I give you the money? Omalei shtar chayirchesli. I can't find the shtar. What am I supposed to do? I just can't find it. Echnu v'chotavra. I'm happy to give you a shoiver. Omalei harav shmul di amri tavayu. Ein kois vin shoiver. When you're paying off the entire debt, no shoiver. Find your lousy shtar. Until you find your shtar, the leiver doesn't have to pay you a penny. Ein kois vin shoiver. That's what Rav Shmuel said. So therefore, I'm not paying you until you get me my shtar. Oma. So now, this came in front of Rav Chanina bar Papi. And Rav Chanina bar Papi said, first he wanted to go and compliment and show tremendous respect and esteem to the holy Rav Shmuel. So he said, Omer man yoiv lon me afri to Rav Shmuel. Halavai we would just have from the offer, from the dust of Rav Shmuel, raminim be'ainin, we put into our eyes, and that would make our vision clearer. In other words, what a covet would be if we would just get from the offer and put it in our eyes. However, with the greatest of respect and reverence to the holy Rav Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan bar Sheish Lakish di Amri, Trevai the Kois vin Shoiver. We do write a Shoiver after all, and therefore, even if the Malva cannot go and find his Shtar Choiv, we force the Loiv to go and pay and to accept a Shoiver. Vachenki also Robin Umri Bilo, Kois vin Shoiver. Umistabra and the Svara tells us the Kois vin Shoiver. Why does the Svara tell us Kois vin Shoiver? Tisol Kadaitach in Kois vin Shoiver, if you're going to tell me, sorry, no shoiver makes no difference. No shoiver, no shoiver. Ovid shtar shalzeh. What happens if, in fact, the malva bona fide lost his shtar? People lose things. I mean, it's just human nature. People lose things. See, he lost his shtar. So what's going to happen now? He'll never be able to go and collect from the loiva because of ein kois vin shoiver. He can't go and write a receipt. You have to hand over the original shtar. I don't have the original shtar. What am I supposed to do? Is yoichel haloi v'chodi? Do you want that the loive should have a good time eating sushi and pizza and kugel all day and dancing the jig, saying, ah, ha, ha, I don't have to pay on this guy. He lost his shark. I'm off the hook. And we don't write shoivre, so I never have to pay. So avada, avada, we require the loive to pay under those extenuating circumstances that the Malva can't find his shtar. So who's going to, when the Malva find the shtar in a month from now, in a year from now, or the Yorushim are going to find it in the attic 50 years from now, they're going to demand payment. Kois fin shoiva. That's why we do write a shoiva, so they cannot collect a second time. Freitimora, masklavaya, velamai. So you're telling me kois fin shoiva? What happens if it's the other way around? Ovad shoiva shows it, just like you're concerned that the Malva may lose his shtar choyv, and the other guy, the loiv, is going to be dancing, oh, I don't have to pay. What happens is the other way around. What happens if the loiv loses his shoiver, then yoichel haloiv chodi, so then the Malva will produce that shtar that had been lost for umpteen years, and Baruch Hashem, he finally found it. He's going to go and he's going to say, ha, 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 loiv, you got to go and pay me. Shoiver, shoiver, where's the shoiver? I can't find the shoiver. Mr., unless you find the shoiver, you got to go and pay. So you have the same thing, just in reverse. Amalei Rava, Rava said, nevertheless, we are more concerned about the Malva not getting paid and the Loive going and dancing and celebrating, rather than the Loive having to pay twice and that the Malva will be celebrating. Why is that? Amalei Rava, because in Eben Loivelish Malva, there's a pasuk that says that by definition, a loiva is somewhat subservient to the malva. So I'm more concerned about the malva being whole and the loiva going and taking advantage of the loss of this shtar choyv and not paying and say, well, no tiki, no washi. If you're not going to go and give me the shtar choyv, I'm not going to pay you. No, that's not the right way of conducting yourself. You got to go and pay, we'll give you a shoiver. You might lose the shoiver. No, ever live the shmalva. You're subservient to the malva, and hopefully you'll watch your shoiver. Make sure the achborim don't take it away. Now, all of that, we got off a little bit on the side, because we were talking initially about getting a shoiver on palga, on half. There you have to work something out. Nobody lost anything. You have a full-fledged archoy for 100, and this fellow is paying 50. So what are you going to do? So that's what you have a machlekes. Your shoyver, this shoyver, etc. This discussion was, what happens if he wants to pay in full and the guy can't find the shtar? Does he have to accept the shoyver? Doesn't he? The Gemara concludes, yes, he has to accept the shoyver because we don't want the malva to be out of pocket because he lost the shtar. But we still have to get back to the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and how that affects the brisa that we had on the Amud Aleph, legabe what Rapidos said. Rapidos said that if it's crystal clear in the document by looking at the solar calendar and then looking at the Hebrew calendar or one of these 100-year calendars and things, if you determine that the date is absolutely impossible, they didn't write it on Shabbos, they didn't write it on Yom Kippur, so you assume it's a Shtar Me'ucher, in such a case, I have a machlokes between the... Then everybody agrees. I do not have a machlokes. Everybody agrees, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, it's kosher, and that's why Rabbi Yossi was machsher in the Shuk of Tzipori, it's kosher. But where is the machlokes, says Rabbi Yossi? When it's a regular Shtar Me'ucher, not that it has a clear-cut, incorrect, irresponsible, irreligious date. A regular Shtar Me'ucher, that we know that it's a Shtar Me'ucher. So what's the machlokes there? So we said the machlokes has to do with Nafik minei churva. What calamity can come out? Yoshoiv and Ishoiv, and that's what we're going to address now. It's non hasam. Shtari choiv. Shtari choiv, of course, are what we've been talking about generally. A shtar choiv is a promissory note. Hamukdamin psulim. That's zikr possible. There's nothing to talk about. Vamucharin, if they're mu'uchar with a later date, it's kshen. Then it is kosher. And that's what we normally assume. A shtar mu'uchar is kosher. Amr Rav Nuna, leishonu el ishtari halva. That's only if you're talking about a halva. You had a loan. Avishtore mekuch memker, afilu mucharin nami psulin. If you're talking about a shtar mekuch memker, that is a bill of sale, a bill of transfer, a deed, and the like. If you put in a later date, that's possible. Well, what's the problem? Reuven sells Shimon a property. Instead of saying that we're going to sell it now on Yud Beis Kislev, we get the money transfers today, we have the closing today, but they wrote in a date for next month, for Yud Beis Teves, for Yud Beis Shvat. So what's wrong with that? No, it's possible. I'll tell you why it's possible. My time. Zimnin de mazben le arab en nissen de kosev le betishrei. Umisram le zuzi beni beni. Tezavin le minei. Tumati tishrei mapik le v'om le hoder zavas aminach. What is this all about? So, the Gemara gives us an example of a six-month shtar me'uchar. I mean, that the actual closing, the actual sale took place in Nissan, right before Pesach. Okay, Mazel le'arab in Nissan. It could be right after Pesach, doesn't make a difference. Anyway, Nissan. And because of the, but they wrote in the document, not Nissan tofshin pehei, in other words, this coming Pesach time, this coming Nissan, but they wrote Tishrei tofshin pehvav, 6 months later. Okay, so, ma'kolarash. Remember, we're not talking about a shtar choiv, we're talking about a sale. So he sold it to him and said, we're going to write in the document 6 months later. Fine. Umisrami lezuzi beini beini. In between Nissan and Tishrei, the original seller of this property, who sold the property, he said, I want to go and have exercise a right of redemption to get my property back. Now, where is this right of redemption? So, Shbam, that was kind of the minig in those days, that if a person is selling his house, or selling his real estate, does he really want to sell? He doesn't want to sell. He's just desperate for cash. He has no choice. Otherwise, remember, choydis are up to his neck. He just can't make it. But the understanding was either explicit or implicit, that if within the next Lamashal...
I'm sorry. This is the
Shul's
Gemara.
No,
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay. Where's the kid? Here's the Bava Basra.
Can you give me a prayer book, please?
Certainly, I'm up for anything that you'd like.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Just anyone will do.
That's far.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, yeah, everybody with us? Remember, the sale took place Nissan time, April time, Nissan time. They didn't put in a date for Nissan. They put in a date for Tishrei, which is September time, right after the summer. And then what happens, Rishbam says, in the middle of Tammuz, the seller, the original seller, says to the original buyer, you know what, I have to tell you, I'd like to exercise my right of redemption. I want to go and get my property back. I miss my property desperately. I needed the money at that time. It was still Nissan time. At that time, I still had to go and pay my tuition. I had to go buy shmurah matzah and all the rest. I was really desperate for cash. I sold it to you at that time. I used all the cash. But Baruch Hashem, now Tammuz, middle of summer, I don't have any more tuition payments to worry about until September, and I don't have to buy now shmurah matzah. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, I was able to get a little cash together. I'm buying back the property. And the other person says, okay, no problem, buy it back. And he gave him all the money, and everything is great. Now, what he says to him is, what about giving me the shtar that I sold it to you? Can't find that shtar. I don't know exactly where it is. So what's going to be? What proof do I have that I bought back the property? You know what? I'll give you a shoiver. And Rishbam says, this type of shoiver, everybody agrees that koisvin shoiver. Why does everybody agree koisvin shoiver? Because if he's not going to write out a shoiver, then he will not be able to go and buy back the property. And I want my property back. I want to get it back. So therefore, if I cannot go and get my original deed that I had given you, that I sold you the property, if you cannot find that, if it's irchis, at the very least, give me the shoiver so that I should be able to exercise my right of redemption and get my property back. Mm-hmm. What date is there on that shoiver? The date of that shoiver is now in Tammuz, because that was the date that I went and bought it back, and I gave you the money then. And now we take out, it's now Tishrei time, a couple of months later, it's now September, it's Tishrei, Bechimati Tishrei, Mapiklei, then the original, the purchaser that had bought the property takes out Mapiklei, he bought it back in Nissan, but it had a date of Tishrei, he's going to take it out the Omalei, Hadiz Avnus Aminach, hey! Don't you remember? Just like you exercise your right of redemption. A repurchase. I bought it back from you. And he says, well, wait a minute. I have the shoiver. The shoiver says that I bought it back. That was a Thomas date. Therefore, what's going to happen is, it's a shtar me'ucher, and it's going
to... The priest is going to seize the property illegally.
Exactly right. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yossi says...
Shtar me'ucher is possible.
Shtar me'ucher is possible.
But right. Here, you're having the presumption that the seller has a higher standing than the buyer, as opposed to the...
High standard?
Yeah, like the Lovi versus the Lovi, right? The Lovi is subordinate to the buyer.
The data on it.
Even the seller should be subordinate to the buyer, because the seller is the one looking for money.
What you're saying is correct. Let's get back to your question in a moment. Freitimori hachi shtari halvoa nami. Why did Rav Amnuna begin? Lo yishanu el shtari halva. Now what's the din? Hamucharim shtar me'ucher is kosher. It's only the shtari mekuchum memker where you can have this terrible fraud that he pays him up in Tammuz and then he takes out the shtar from Tishrei and says, ha ha, you see I bought it back from you, a repurchase, and therefore it belongs to me. Say the exact same chesha, yachi shtari halva nami.
You don't do that sort of...
Well, let's see. Zimn in the Yosef and Nissen. Let's not talk about buying a property. Let's talk about a loan.
Repayment.
He made a loan in Nissen. The cost of Leishtar b'Tishrei, and he post-dated it for Tishrei. The only one that L'Choira has a disadvantage is the Malva, because now he cannot collect from any properties that were sold in the interim. But guess what happens? U'mesrami le'zuzi b'ni b'ni. And what happens if the loyve, Baruch Hashem, he won the lottery, and he says, you know what, I want to pay up all my chovis for the first time in 25 years, get all of my liens and all of my mortgages and all of my outstanding loans, I want to pay everything off. And what does he do? So he pays it now, beni beni. Beni beni means like Thomas time, in the middle, in between this and this. And Uparleni Ptaka paid him. The Omalei, and now it comes in, at that time in Tammuz, it's Avli Shtarai. Give my shtar so we could tear up this shtar choy forever. I never have to worry about it. The Omle in the Malva says, Yerchus, I can't find it, I lost it. Because of Leitavra, and he writes him a shoiver. And that shoiver, of course, is for Tammuz time, saying, yes, you paid your choyv and everything is great. And now, B'chimati Zamne, or Zimne, when the time of the original dating of the original shtar, which, remember, it was written in Nisan, but it had a Tishrei date. So now this Tishrei date is 2 months later after Tammuz. Mapikle, now the Malva takes out the shtar that had originally been lost, and he says, hey, you gotta go and pay me. But on Malay, and he says to him, Hashdu diosus minoi. He takes out a shoyva. Don't you remember I paid you? Here's my receipt. I paid you in full. That wasn't the earlier. That was the Thomas payment that you made for an earlier loan. I don't remember that loan. Nissen maybe took place a year ago. Five. I don't know in particular. That's an old loan. But look at this new shtar. This shtar now says, Tishrei, your Thomas is earlier than Tishrei, and therefore you owe me the money. So, Freitimar, don't we have the exact same problem here by the loan that we had by the repurchase agreement? Vis-a-vis the
fraud.
The receipt.
The receipt should have said the date when the loan was written.
It's very good. In fact, the Gemara is going to give that eighth in another couple of lines. Bill, I'm telling you, you have a Talmudic head. It's perfect.
That's why we had problems with you yesterday.
Yeah. But then we would have, because we couldn't count them, right? We had problems in counting them with the people. Anyway, so Gemara, so Hashtu, he's going to go and tell him, Hashtu diyasud minoi, you borrow the money from me. Not in Nisan and not in Tammuz. You borrowed the money from me now in Tishrei time, and your document that says receipt of payment, that's for an early loan. So why don't we say, Rav Amnuna, I have the exact same issue, not only Bishtori Mekach HaMemka, but also by Bishtori Halva. Why did you say Bishtori Halva? Muchar Nakshayrin, Leishar Leishar Halva. Bishtori Mekach HaMemka, Muchar is possible. You have the same concern, Legab Bishtori Halva also. He holds that there's no such thing as shoiver. Shoiver, stand on your head. Malva, you have to produce the document. If you don't produce the document, I'm not paying a nickel. You can give me a shoiver, he and shoiver here. It's not going to help. You have to go and give it that. So that being the case, in the middle of the summer when it comes Tammuz time, if the loiver comes up with the cash and he's ready to go and pay off the malva, and the malva says, Irchas lishtara, sorry, you're not going to go and get paid until you find that shtar. And then you don't have to worry about that he's going to take out a shtar that has a dating of Tishrei or some other later date, because until you show me the shtar, I don't give you a nickel. Ein koisin shoyver. So why don't you say the same thing vis-a-vis the case of the shtari mekach u'memker? But the shtari mekach u'memker, there the burden is on the other person. Meaning,
sitting in the land.
Sorry?
Because the buyer is already sitting, he's already
What you're saying is correct, but it goes one step further. What's going on now? It's now Tammuz time. And now the original owner of the property wants to exercise his right of redemption and get his property back. And he says, here, I have the money, I'm ready to give it to you. And he says to the purchaser, the one that owns the property and is living in the land, he says, here, I have the money, go and give me the property. No problem, give me the property. Is your shtar? Can't find the shtar. Then I'm not going to give you the money. Then don't give me the money. You know, I don't need the money. You want to get the property back. You're the one that's going to have to come up with the funds. If you have the funds, I'm happy to take it. You don't want to take it without the shtar? Then don't take it without the shtar. It's okay, you know, it doesn't bother me. If you want, I'll give you a shoiver. No problem. So now, the original owner, is really over the hill. He's really under a lot of duress. He has no choice over here. If he wants to get the property back, and he's always insisting in getting the shtar, the purchaser will say, if you insist on getting the shtar, I'm sorry, you're just not going to get the property. And I'm happy to hold on to it. And therefore, I'm going to give you a shoiver. If you like the shoiver, it's great. If you don't like the shoiver, it's a tough luck. And the Rishbam says, even those that hold that ein koisin shoiver, that's only the gabi case of shtari halva, but now gabi shtari mekach u'memka. There, everybody agrees that if the purchaser does not have the shtar, the original shtar, the deed that it belongs to him with a bill of transfer, then meicher, the original owner, it's up to you. What do you want to do? If you want to take that risk and take the shoiver, fine. But you don't want to take the risk, you don't want to take the shoiver, then fine, you just won't get your property back. And so it's going to be, so the equities, if you will, or the balance of the financial incentives is on the other side. So therefore, that's why the Gemara says, Omer Rav Amnuna, lo yishar al yishtari halva, ma yishtari halva, you're worried about this type of Nissan payment and Tammuz taking out the shtar, which has a Tishrei day problem. Never have a problem because ein koisin shoiver. Who holds ein koisin shoiver? That's Rabbi Yehuda that says you don't worry about a shoiver.
Rabbi Yossi, who says ein koisin shoiver?
Rabbi Yehuda.
You look at the top two lines of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda the Tamei Diyamai. See, Rabbi Yehuda the Tamei Diyamai. Ein koisin shoiver. So you don't have to worry about it. He's going to say, you want to go and pay off, I want to pay off the debt. You better come up with your document. If you don't come with the document, you're not going to get the payment. So we don't write a shayu. So by Ishtori Halva, he says, there, Me'ucha will always be kosher. What's going to be the situation? He's going to take out the shtar later on with a Tishrei date. He cannot take up the shtar with a Tishrei date because that shtar will be destroyed at the time that he's paying in Tammuz. Yeah, but he couldn't find it in Tammuz. Then he's not going to pay in Tammuz. Whenever he finally takes out the shtar, that's what he's going to go and pay. So therefore, Me'ucher is always kosher. But again, the Mekach HaMemker, there we have the pressures on the other side, the incentives on the other side, because it's the original owner, the Mocher, that wants to go and exercise his right of redemption. He says to the purchaser, here's the money, I'm happy to give it to you, take it, but give me back my shtar. Purchaser says, I don't have a shtar. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I don't know. I'm an absent-minded professor type. Now it's up to you. You decide. Do you want to go and redeem it with the possibility that I might take out the shtar later on? Or don't you? It's really your call. I'm happy to hold on to the property at this time. Ah, so in this case, we're going to give him a shoifer. Mazel tov, we give him a shoifer. The shoifer is going to have a Tammuz date. And then Tishrei, the original purchaser, is going to say, hey, you see, I bought it in Tishrei. Yeah, but I have a shoifer from Tammuz. That was on the earlier purchase. We did a repo. We did a second purchase. And so therefore, that's why there's a potential ilkum. Says Imar, that's why Reb Yehuda says, to avoid those issues, Ein koisvin shoiver, whatever you like, and for like nothing many churva, you're not going to have a churva. If you're in the Talmud, you're a koisvin shoiver, nothing many churva, that you could have a calamity coming as a result after all. But that's only in your normal, regular shtar choiv case. However, when you're talking about a shtar mo'ucha, which is crystal clear that everybody knows that it's shtar mo'ucha, because it has a Shabbos date, or it has a Yom Kippur date, then I'm not worried about people will say that this was a Tishrei day. Because everybody knows that there's a miscalculation or a misstatement. So it had to be that it was written on a different date, so then it's going to be Mavar. We won't have this type of situation. And that's why Reb Yossi agrees to Reb Yehuda that if it's obvious, then it's kosher. So that's the end of this piece. So Zokti Gemara. Omalei, we're up to Omalei Rav Yehmele Rav Kahana. So we now have concluded the discussion why initially we have a machloikis of Yehuda and Rav Yossi. The machloikis is not legabe where it's crystal clear b'Shabbos and b'Sarf Tishrei, only when it's a 6 months later situation, a real shtar me'ucher, where we could have this potential fraud or deception. Now the Gemara says, L'choyre, there's a way to get out from all of these things, and that was what Bill was suggesting a minute ago. Zokti Gemara, Omer le Rav Yehme le Rav Kahana, V'ami le Rav Yehme be difti le Rav Kahana, V'inna, de kosvinen shtarim u'chari, de kosvinen tavra. I don't understand. We just said now that according to the Mandi Omer that you write a shtar, a tavra, a shoiver, if you write a shtar mu'uchar, then it's possible. Where did we get that? Going back to the top of the Omud, just to refresh our memories, that what did we say by shtar me'ucher? Rabbi Yossi says that it's possible. We normally hold the shtar me'ucher as kosher. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, it's possible. What was the reason Rabbi Yossi saying it's possible? Third line, Rabbi Yossi letam, me'diam a kois vin shoiver, and since you write a shoiver, the nothing menei churva, we could, oh, so, we have a chair. Come, no, no. It's a cupboard for me.
It's covered.
Shai, could you please pass another tomorrow?
Sure. Yes, if you'd be so kind and so gracious.
Thank you so much.
Gracious. Kuf Ayin Aleph Omid Beis. So remember, according to Yossi, the fact that you write at a shoiver, if you're going to have a shtar mu'ucher, you have the possibility of nafik minei chorva. You could have this calamity of what we just described in the Gemara. A Nissan document that bore a Tishrei date, he pays in the middle, in between. It's only a problem if you write at a shoiver. Rabbi Yosef Shitosa that you write at a shoiver. In the case of a shtar alva, if you insist I'm not writing a shoiver, you can stand on your head, you have to give me back the original document, then guess what? then he's never going to go and pay in Tammuz, and he's not going to pay in Elul, he's not going to pay in Tishrei, until he finally goes and gives him the original document. As soon as he gives the original document, what do you think the first thing he's going to do is?
Tear it up.
Going to tear it up into smithereens. They're going to go and put it in a fancy shredder. It's going to be in a million little pieces.
There's one problem with this.
What's one problem?
In the time of the Gemara,
yeah,
if someone had the funds,
mm-hmm,
they couldn't safely store it in a bank where they could draw it later on when the original shtar was produced.
Mm-hmm.
The danger people had, and since it was a cash, it was getting cash together was hard.
Mm-hmm.
They'd lose the money or they'd be robbed. So mm-hmm, there's a risk that the person holding the money has that they won't have the money later.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that they'll spend it, but that it could be taken. So
mm-hmm,
it's not like our times where you can deposit it and then draw it when you need it. It's there here today. It might be going tomorrow. It might be burglarized or something.
Achbarim could take away the money. They could take away the shtaris. Right. They could take away the shoyv. They could take away. In the good old days,
when somebody has the money to pay,
mm-hmm,
and they want to pay,
mm-hmm,
I mean, because, you know,
yes,
the presumption
yes
is that I have the money now. I want to get rid of it before.
Exactly right. So you go and tell the Malva, you want to get paid. Find that shtar right now. If you don't find the shtar, you're not going to get paid. Ah, so if you hold that Eid, Gois, and Shoiver, you don't have to worry about this shtar Me'ucher situation. Because when it's going to come Tishrei, he still hasn't paid because he didn't give him the shtar back. Once you allow for the writing of a Shoiver, if the Malva were to find the shtar subsequently, like, let's see, Taka forgot it. He couldn't find it. But Baruch Hashem, he found it later on.
Or his children find it after he dies, and they
exactly
don't know. They say, we don't know about the earlier date.
They have a Shoiver. The Shoiver predates the date of the shtar.
It's not even ill intention. It's all legit.
100%. No deception, no fraud.
Why did the mission, just one small thing, why did they not talk about other Yom Tovim? Why did you say Shabbos and Yom Kippur?
But anyway, but the point of all of this is that Rabbi Yossi says, so we have two factors together that cause the potential chorva. Number one is that you write shoivrim, and number two that you did a shtar me'ucher. The combination, shtar me'ucher, and you can have this tamus payment in between Nissan and Tishrei. He didn't get back the shtar because kois and shoiver, and nothing may chorva that he can go and take out the old shtar in Tishrei and say, pay again. And as you say, maybe he didn't do it as Yorshim did it because he didn't know, or whatever the situation is. But it could cause a terrible calamity. So, shtar me'ucher together shoiver is a recipe for disaster. So, Frey Timura asks now Rav Yirmi Difflin of Kanavo in the today. Kosvin shtar me'ucher, we frequently find shtar me'uchers in the marketplace, the Kosvin and Tavra, and we write out shoivrim as well. Why aren't we concerned of this possibility that the shoivr is going to predate the shtar me'ucher, and then afterwards he or someone else or the yoidish or whatever is going to go and take out that shtar me'ucher later on? Says Yimara, Basant Omulahu Reb Abba Lesafrei. To address this issue, Reb Abba said to his sofrim, so we shouldn't have this potential calamity. If the Malvin Loive ask you to go write a shtar me'ucher, go and post-date it for 6 months, Lemushel, Kisvu Hachi, go and write in the shtar, in bold letters. Shtar then on this shtar, Loive is money kosvonei, el acharnu v'kosvonu. Don't take this date
literally.
Good. But rather, you should know this is a shtar me'ucher. It was that the loan took place in Nissan, and we wrote in Tishrei because that's what was requested. So then nobody will have any doubts. So if we had this Tamas situation where someone pays the loan or pays off the redemption on the price of the property, and he exercises his right of redemption, and then, we have a new date of Tishrei, this happens subsequently, look in the Kleine Oisius, this didn't happen subsequently, this is a Nissan Shtar. And the reason why it says Tishrei is because Achanu, because we knew. When we wrote it, L'chadchila, we wrote it with a later date, and everybody agreed. So we don't have the problem, right, Bill? This is what you were suggesting. And if it wasn't exactly what you're suggesting, the Gemara gives another similar suggestion. Omri Rav Ashler of Kahana, but in today's day and age, the Lekovdin and Hochi, that's Rav Abba and his suffering. But Lemais by Uns, we don't do it that way. So don't we have that situation? We have a shtar me'ucher, we have a shoiver, and the shtar me'ucher does not say, I want you to know that this was conceived in Nissan, but we wrote in the later date of Tishrei. There's no such statement. So right there we have the problem of Rabbi Yossi, the recipe for disaster of having both a shtar me'ucher and the writing of a shoiver. Zochtimora Basa the Amalei Rav Safra the Safreis. Rav Safra came up with a new hamtzah, a new idea for his Safra, and he says, Ki kasviso hanitavi, whenever you write a shoiver, iyadisu zimna dishtara, kisoivu. If you know this man of the original shtar, write in the shoiver. Not only receipt for payment of $50, but receipt for payment of $50 on a shtar whose date was blank. In our case, it was a shtar mu'ucher, so it was a tishrei. Write in, even though I'm paying today, in Tammuz, I'm paying on a shtar choiv, which is dated a tishrei date, a later date. So I'm prepaying a later, post-dated check or a post-dated shtar.
Don't you say, the date was originally incurred, which was around Pesach, Nisan.
I guess that was the important thing is he's identifying what the date of the shtar choy, because this shtar choy might be taken out later on because it was lost, and then he finds it. But what's the date? Tishrei. Right in the Tammuz Shoiver that the date is Tishrei. What happens, Eloi? What happens if you don't remember the date of the shtar? It's not here, it's lost, so what am I supposed to do? Kisvu Stama, then go and just write Stam, I'm paying on a shtar choy for Yanko without writing in the date. Cholei Mr. Nofik Leraya. So that any time that it's going to be taken out, then there'll be an undermining of the original shtar choiv. If you say in the shoiver clearly that I'm paying on the tishrei, then that certainly is going to undermine that shtar. And it, since in a case where they don't remember what the shtar is, the fact that the shoiver is silent and doesn't address the date, that means that there was a shtar that was missing. And now a new shtar is coming out. There's something fishy about this. Usually shoiver says very clearly, I'm paying on the Tishrei date, the Nissan date. Why does it say stam? So the fact that it says stam, that already will lead the Beis Din and the parties to analyze and inspect what's going on. We don't distinguish in Shoivrim between this date and that date. We just give Stam a receipt without focusing on the dating. So Uvaita, we still have this potential issue of Yoisi. Did you doing a Shtam Ucher together with the Shoivrim? What's it on site? On Malaysia, he said, do me a favor. Rabbanan Tikuni Tikini. The Rabbanan do the best they can in trying to figure out legislation that will work. Man the Ovid, whoever listens to it and does like Rav Safra suggests, like Rav Abba suggested, Baruch Hashem, their lives will be enriched, will be great. Man the Loi Ovid, Yud Yafsad Rafshi. If a person says, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so this is a self-induced wound, he cannot complain against anybody else. Stop over here, boys, I have a wonderful Shabbos.